Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Hello, I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Coming at you from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In a building that really let me down tonight. So, last break. You know, there's a term in radio, the word break. I say break for commercials, but in music radio, when they do segments and talk, they call those breaks because they're breaking into the music. It really bugs me.
I don't know why it bugs you because it's accurate.
Are you calling this a break right now?
Well, no, because we're not a music station. It makes sense in the music world. You literally are breaking up the, I don't want to say the monotony of the songs, but you're breaking up the songs to talk.
Hmm. Yeah, but then what is a commercial break called?
Commercials.
Anyway, during our area of rest for 5 minutes, I told you I'd be right back. I went to go look for envelopes to steal for the to send out the cards that I hawked on eBay. And the room with the envelopes is locked up. Hey. Probably for good reason if I was trying to steal
pretty
them.
Much in this economy.
Although I did need new Band-Aids for my car, and there was a first aid kit in the kitchen that had a lot of Band-Aids.
Not anymore.
Do you hear them?
I do.
It's probably a good 20, 30 Band-Aids here.
Yeah, similar situation in our little company area kitchen thing, first aid cabinet. It never has any Advil.
Yeah, I took some of that too. There's a bunch of packs in there. I like to be prepared. I like to have them in my car. I like to have, you should have a first aid kit in your car.
That's right.
The other day, my kid fell. He scraped his arm. Pretty bad, a good healthy 6-year-old scrape, 5-year-old scrape. And so I had Band-Aids, and I Band-Aided him up. I bandaged him up.
Daddy, why does my bandage say Odyssey?
Yeah, why has it got the logo of Kiss FM? And then he was doing, it was something with water. I think they were playing in water. They were playing in water. Someone set up a sprinkler. Oh, this was the 4th of July, before the 4th of July parade. So someone, one of his buddies, set up a sprinkler, the dad, and then his Band-Aid was getting wet. So I went back to my car, my first aid kit, and I had some gauze. So I kind of like wrapped his arm up in gauze, at least around the elbow, and he wore it the entire day, and he looked kind of like a badass, but I had that in my car. So I was low on Band-Aids because, kids, anytime they get a boo-boo or an owie, they need a Band-Aid. And thank you, Odyssey, for the Band-Aids. Take it on my check, I guess. Although you could just let me have them for all the sponsorship money. What? It was 10 years ago. We're all good. 888-710-4ISN. They gave me a job back. We're even. 888-710-4476. Mark is in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's good, Mark?
So I heard you talking about cards, right?
And I have let me tell you the final prices. I sold a Duke Snyder for $16.
Okay.
The OJ card went for $6.50.
Okay.
Roger Wehrle went for $6.50.
Okay.
And Reggie White went for $8. So what is that? 16, 6, 8, 6. I made like $35 tonight.
So in 2021, I'm a big Pokemon collector. I have a pretty big collection that's worth quite a little bit of money. And so I've been selling forever. But my wife ended up having a collection. We were cleaning out the closet. And she ended up having her little book of cards and stuff like that. And I came across from her a 1999 first edition holographic Charizard. Now, the first edition base set goes for roughly $500,000, right?
It's
very rare. PSA 10, which is graded, the highest grade you can get for a card, whether it's baseball or anything, is worth $500,000. PSA 8 is worth probably like $100,000, but it's a very rare card. But I found one card in her little book. And so we ended up going to a Pokemon convention. So I was selling my cards and stuff, and I brought the card with me, and I had it graded over the weekend, and it came out. The grade came back PSA 10. It was PSA 10 mint, best condition ever. All her other cards were beat up. Just one card was just perfect. And I sold this for $420,000. Yeah.
What?
In 2022. And that's the most I've ever made on a Pokemon card. I had a...
That's $500,000, Mark.
Yeah. I had a Gengar, Japanese Gengar, that was worth... It was graded at like PSA 8.
You and
it
sold
was worth,
a card for $420,000?
Yeah. My Gengar was worth like... I got $57,000 for it. My Japanese Gengar. PSA 8. Yeah.
Are you living off of this?
No. I worked. I ended up giving like probably over $100,000 to my mom for their house and my stepdad's car, and I paid for my mom's solar on her house. I invested it. Me and my wife, we have an account that we just add money into.
Wait, so it's her card, but you took all the money?
Well, it's our card. So, I mean, or me and...
Lucky on that one, Mark.
Yeah.
Our card.
My money's your money. But yeah, I basically kind of assumed it was mine. But at the end of the day, like, it's both of ours. And she helped her mom out by fixing up their house and stuff like that, their plumbing and stuff like that. And we're still sitting on, I would say, in 2022, it's now 2025, going on 2026. I would say we probably still have a little over $200,000 left from that.
But I did want to know, yeah.
But yeah, like, Pokemon cards are, it's like baseball cards are great, but they make so many cards, Bart, and there's so many. Baseball, football, basketball, Pokemon cards, it's the same thing, but there's just different variations of the card.
My brother probably had those cards. My brothers, they collected back in 99, and then, now my kid now is buying Pokemon cards, but they're mass producing these now.
And that's not even a lot. A first edition 1999 holographic base set card goes for over $1 million. Right now, if you can find one of those, and there's literally only two in the world. And one of them, Logan Paul bought it, and turns out it was fake. He streamed the whole thing. I don't know how real it was, but he streamed the whole thing on TV. He paid $1 million for it. He got the card, and it was literally fake.
Carlos, is that the one? Yeah. Didn't he wear one out to the wrestling ring once or something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but then there was another video where he actually went and live streamed the whole thing, and he actually went to the actual person who actually had one of the cards in the world. It was actually real, and he was willing to offer the dude like $4 million for it, and the guy said no. He's like, I'm not paying. This is because it's going to be worth. It's the most rarest card, I think, of all time for like Pokemon lore, But that was my little card collection story, which is kind of cool. No one really knows, I drive a really piece of crap car, so no one knows, but
wow.
Yeah, but I can definitely buy a lot of Hot Pockets.
Yeah, well, all right, Mark, thanks for the story.
Awesome, well, enjoy the rest of your night, Bart.
All right, Mark in California. Wow. I don't know if you guys ever heard this story. But there was, it's kind of famous. There's a guy who was hungry, for, family dinner. So he bought his family a couple of pizzas. And, at the time I didn't know what these things were, Bitcoin. That was me. I was the Bitcoin pizza guy. I bought two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin. Just kidding. But did you ever hear about that?
How much Bitcoin did he pay for pizza?
May 18th, 2010, a man named Laszlo Hanyix.
I mean, his name was Laszlo. You could just stop the story there.
Posted a thread on the Bitcoin forum saying he would pay 10,000 Bitcoins to anyone that would order him two large pizzas or cook and deliver him two large pizzas. He said, I just want to get good food delivered in exchange for Bitcoins where I don't have to order or prepare it myself. 4 days later, a man named Jeremy Sturdivant took him up on that offer. He ordered Laszlo two large pizzas from Papa John's, and Laszlo sent Jeremy 10,000 Bitcoins in return.
What a steal.
10,000 Bitcoins today is worth So that's 100,000 million. $1 billion.
I don't believe this actually happened.
Wow.
I need receipts.
Let me look at my Bitcoin wallet. I used some of it to gamble the other day. So right now I'm at 0.00019 Bitcoin. I own $2.23 worth of Bitcoin. You got to diversify. Todd's in Tampa. Todd.
Scotch, what's going on? Let's get down to the business of the hand, which is the barter meter, and go from there. And I want to close with my bucks. And but anyways, let me say this: your team is either in a position where you haven't won for ever. Okay, or you're the Buffalo Bills. How many times do you want to go out with the prettiest girl and never, you know, kiss or something? I mean, how many, you know, that's just like, no, I'll pass. But, you know, I grew up with Joe Namath, and he.
Well, maybe you value friendship and conversation, Todd.
No, I'm a Buccaneer guy. Okay, I'm a Buccaneer. My Lightning have won. I'm in the very rare, unique, great position that my teams have won titles and hoisted the Vincent T. Lombardi Trophy, the Stanley Cup, and my Rays should have won due to coaching error twice in the World Series. I don't want to get into that. And your Bucks have won. It's been a long time for your Packers, but thank you very much. And then, you know, going from there. But I don't know, you know, to me, my Buccaneers have got it done, and I'm happy about that. So, you know, there's a lot of teams. If your owner hasn't won a title in 20 years, then they suck. Okay, that's just the bottom line. I want to close with this about my Buccaneers, because Christian Wirfs is out. Oh, and I wanted to, you know, for the first four games, that's our all-pro left tackle. So yeah. Let me tell the new OC, okay, you better understand that Baker needs the blind side protected. And if you need to put a tight end over there, you better get over there, okay, because we have been disrespecting my Buccaneers. By the way, this has to be said, and I love our boy, you know Baker. Okay, but yep. had Tom Brady been our quarterback last year, we would have won the Super Bowl. We had no business losing to the
at
Washington.
This age.
No. We would have never fumbled. Do you understand what we did in that game? We gave the Redskins the ball on the 3 yard line. They didn't score. The 5 yard line. They didn't score. And then on our own 12 yard line, we run a reverse. We run a end around and we fumble the ball over there. We should have smoked them. Okay, that's coaching. Okay, now I don't know. You know, as you're a Green Bay guy,
let's land the plane here, Todd. Where are we going with this?
Does LaFleur and your guy Miz have what it takes to win a title? Because my Tampa Bay Rays do, and my Buccaneers should win the Super Bowl. I'll hear your answer off the air.
I don't think Matt LaFleur is ever going to win a championship, but that's just me. I'm a kind of a critic of him. I just feel like, I don't know. Speaking of dating the prettiest girl, and speaking of Tom Brady, you see these rumors on the...
I actually did see these rumors. See, this is what we... Why didn't we lead the show off with this? Talking about football cards and Pokemon cards and all this crap. Tom Brady's living life, man.
Tom Brady allegedly hanging out with Sofia Vergara.
No, it's not one of the names I saw. Is that true?
Oh, are you talking about Sydney Sweeney?
Yes, I saw Sydney Sweeney, Dakota Johnson, and I forgot who the third person was. Kate Hudson.
Tom Brady's hanging out with those three?
That's the rumor I saw.
Oh, my God, dude. There was one summer I worked on a boat, and also working on this boat was this girl that looked just like Kate Hudson. I took her out for ice cream and mini golf once, and then she must not have liked it, I guess.
She must have realized she looked like Kate Hudson. By the way, you know, attractive doesn't do it for me.
Kate Hudson?
Kate Hudson, to me, is kind of mid.
Kind of mid? She might be on my list.
Kind of mid. Now, Sydney Sweeney, I will sell your soul for.
Well, yeah, people bought her bathwater.
Yeah, not me. I'm not down that bad.
I don't like objectifying women like this, but I do think Ana de Armas is a very good actress.
Yes, I am very impressed with her acting ability.
Anyway, Tom Brady.
Was he hanging out with her too?
And Sofia Vergara are having a summer fling. This is from TMZ, but they're not dating. And it's not a romance, according to TMZ. Sources say both are single and definitely not a couple, but they're having fun on a trip through Europe with a bunch of other celebrity travelers. About a week ago, the two of them hung out on a super yacht with Martha Stewart, Kendall Jenner, Naomi Campbell, Kate Hudson, Patrick Schwarzenegger. Tom moved his seat on the yacht to sit next to Sophia. And Sophia posted a picture of them seated at a table together as Jay Balvin came by to say hello.
One of those names don't belong there.
You know, this and with this Jeff Bezos wedding, I won't go too far on this here.
I mean, you already opened up the can of worms. He did spend nearly $2 million on flowers. I mean, come on.
It's like the amount of people that are hungry.
Yeah.
And not to say that you can't have a good time and enjoy the fruits of your labor, but.
Agreed. I don't fault rich people for having money. I wish I had some money. So, you know, they're doing everything that we all want to do, but come on.
There's certainly a club out there, like George Carlin once said, and we ain't in it.
Not in it. I'd like to be, please. I would settle for the lower tier of the club. You know, give me the basic membership. Totally fine with that.
Anyway, that's why I'm selling cards on eBay and then promoting that on my radio show.
And it's working.
It worked. Made $35. I made $35, but I can't get the envelopes anywhere around here. It's locking door. Stupid building. 888-710-4476. Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. The MLB draft is this weekend, and I was perusing through some of the names on the top 100 list. At number one for the prospect rankings, Ethan Holliday. Cade Anderson, number two, could go number one. Looking down the list, Billy Carlson. Some fun names, Ike Irish, Steele Hall, Gage Wood. And then at number 44, there's a left-handed pitcher, 18 years old, 6'3", 190, from Lincoln Way East in Illinois. And his name is Jack Bauer. That's funny, right? What a coincidence. Jack Bauer. Like Jack Bauer from 24, the show with Kiefer Sutherland. It was on Fox. I loved this show. In fact, maybe one of my all-time favorite shows, and quite possibly I am due for a rewatch.
Damn it, Chloe!
Damn it, Chloe! One time in college, I took a phone book and slapped some kid in my dorm across the face with it. This guy was weird. He always let me like do stuff like that to him. Only, but if I was only Jack Bauer while doing it, you know, whatever. Maybe it was a thing for him. Fox had the show from November 6, 2001 to May 24, 2010. Came back as a redemption a couple of years ago. So this kid's 18, 19 years old. The parents could have watched the show. If the last name's Bauer, is this a coincidence? It is not. Their last name was Bauer. They had a kid. They named him Jack after Jack Bauer, and now he is the 44th ranked prospect for the MLB draft. It's possible. Oh, God. They'd split screen that? Man. You watched it all, right?
I did. I don't think I saw the 24 Legacy one where it wasn't Jack Bauer. And I'm not 100% sure if I saw like the last season. The one that I know that I saw for sure was the London one.
Yeah.
That one was, what, I think it was season 9 technically. I remember that one.
My favorite seasons are like the odd number seasons. One was really good. 3 was like the drug one, which I didn't
like
at first.
That one was good.
Rewatching it, I really liked
it. It's really good.
5 is then when they all die.
Yeah, seriously. Which one was the nuke going off in California? Was that 2?
Oh, no. That might have been 4, because in 2, George Mason piloted a nuke down into the desert.
Right.
Remember Kiefer was going to die and then Mason popped up? Yeah, nuke went off in L.A. in 24.
Yeah, I still remember that guy when I guess you could say terrorist. He's about to blow the nuke, and the guy goes, no, and just gets smoked. And everyone looks at the direction, and that's how you end the episode. And I'm like, that is one of the best ways to ever end an episode, with your jaw on the floor.
Oh, man. Yeah, I gotta rewatch this.
I do, too. Although it got to be too much with Michelle and Tony Almeida and all that. Like, way too much.
Yeah, and then Kim kind of sucked.
Kim was she was an awful daughter. Awful.
Yeah.
But great eye candy.
I like the dad, Heller. Anyway, okay. So, Jack Bauer is a kid who could get drafted, and at MLB.com, Matt Monaghan did an interview with Kiefer Sutherland to see if he knew anything about this guy. Sutherland told MLB, laughing on a phone call, to see someone at that level at such a young age and the fact that he has the last name Bauer and his parents call him Jack, it's very fun for me. I'm not the most avid baseball fan, but now I have something to root for. He says he's not a big fan. He watches the playoffs, but he was a bigger fan growing up because his dad, Donald Sutherland, the late great, was like a Montreal Expos super fan. This guy loved the Expos.
President Snow loved the Expos?
What's that?
President Snow loved the Expos?
He did. Kiefer said he was a super fan to the degree he was doing a movie in China back in the 80s, and the only thing he had in his contract was that he had to be given time off for the 2 or 3 hours that the Expos played, no matter the time difference. He had a satellite radio that was provided for him in China, and he would climb up the mountain behind where he was working and sit on top of the hill listening to the Expos. So it was understood between me and my brothers and my twin sister that the Expos took precedent over anything, including us as children.
I kind of respect that.
This Jack Bauer, who is a pitching prospect in the draft coming up this weekend, says he still has not found the time to watch it. His parents were massive fans. They've told him it's good. 6 seasons actually aired before he was even born. And guess what his number is on his jersey?
Please tell me it's 24.
It's 24.
That's so awesome. This kid is my new favorite player. I hope the Cubs trade for him.
Yeah. If this kid makes the pros someday, even if it's not, you know, for the Brewers, I got to buy a you got to buy a Bauer 24 jersey. Right? You got to buy that.
I can't because it's not my team, but man, would I be so jealous.
Now, they've talked about 24 coming back again. I don't know. Kiefer's pretty old now. I don't know if he can still be Jack.
Yeah, I can't imagine if, unless they're finally just going to retire at a role and they pass it off. And not that corny, you know, legacy crap that they attempted to. Like, it's got to be a true passing of the torch.
Do you know something about 24 that will change your viewing of it if you ever watch it again? Kiefer's only 5'9".
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And one of the things that he made very adamant is that few people in the show could be taller than him. So pretty much everybody in the show is 5'9 or less.
That's
now, one
common.
Guy, yeah, one guy who is taller is Dennis Haysbert. You may remember him from Major League. But he played President David Palmer in 24. So Jack Bauer, if he makes the pros, won't be the first connection. We all know about David Palmer, who played Major League Baseball, debuting in 1978 until 1989. He was a pitcher. He had 748 strikeouts. He had a 64-59 record, an ERA of 3.78. He ended his career with the Tigers, prior to that the Phillies, prior to that the Braves. And do you know who he played with before that? Donald Sutherland's Montreal Expos. You know, we end the night now with our WTF, Winkler's Thrilling Fact. And
yeah, I guess that was it. We could leave now.
I think you can. Can you just cut this and replay it and I can deuce out of here 8 minutes early? Yeah, you can just replay it. Just replay it.
I won't tell anybody. Just record an ending. You know, say, you know, thanks for everybody, and get out.
All right. For Marco Belletti, Carlos Ortiz, and all of you, I'm Bart Winkler. Pat Boyle next. It's the Bart Winkler Show. Can you do that now?
Done. Easy.
All right. Thank you.
No one will ever know.
No one will ever know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update with our Jack Bauer, Marco Belletti. It's the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside. And this particular portion of the show is brought to you by Hyundai's 2025 hybrid vehicle lineup. Advanced safety and technology meeting hybrid efficiency. It is the best of both worlds. You ever, this happened to me last night. Sometimes when I go home, I will then sit down and do like an hour in front of the TV. You know, it's kind of like an unwind time. I was trying the go right home, lay in bed, go to sleep kind of living. That didn't work.
Never works.
Did not work. So I like to kind of fire up a show. And I checked the DVR. And I didn't realize this, but It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is back with new episodes.
Yeah, and so I saw that with Abbott Elementary crossover.
Yeah. So great show. Earlier this year, Abbott Elementary did a show where the Always Sunny gang comes in as like volunteers. And it was an episode of Abbott Elementary with Always Sunny. And then they did like a home and home to relate it to sports desperately. And they showed it from the Always Sunny side of the same episode. And it's quite funny. Very good episode. Very good episode. So got two of those in last night. I am excited for the King of the Hill reboot, which is coming to Hulu in like a month. And it's like 15 years later in time. So, his son, Hank's son, Bobby's grown up. I'm excited to see that. Not that King of the Hill was my favorite, but it was on in between Simpsons and Family Guy, so that's what I watched on Sunday nights. And did you see this today? Scrubs is coming back again.
See that. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
Can these two guys do anything but be these two guys?
And they're literally the same. They're the same two guys no matter what they're doing. They're doing a T-Mobile commercial, and it's the same two guys. I find them extremely obnoxious, both of them. What the hell? Zach Braff, what the hell is the other guy's name?
Donald Faison.
Yes. I only know him from Remember the Titans when he quit on his team, and then they got him back at the last game, and, you know, he was a good cornerback, but he had no hands. He was Petey. From Remember Titans. And then the other guy, the best career move he's ever pulled in was Florence Pugh.
What? Oh. The show is also bringing back Sarah Chalk, so I'll be there. Not to be confused with Sarah Clark, who played Nina Myers on, guess what, 24.
Wow. The fact that you even remembered that.
I remembered it because I forgot Sarah Chalk's name, and I typed Sarah Clark first. And I was like, oh, that's Nina Myers.
Yeah.
Nina was a babe.
Wow.
You disagree?
No. I don't at all. I'm just
Did you know when we got in tonight that I would say Nina was a babe on the show?
I didn't think we'd be talking about 24, which is great. But man, is Nina Myers like the most traitor character in history? Like, how many times was she up for a sale?
Oh, my God. I know. Left and right coming and going. And then they had her and Jack kiss again in season three. Jeez. Anyway, sports.
Yeah, technically it's what we're here for.
Yeah, here's some news. We'll stop talking about this fun, light, enjoyable conversation to let you know that the New Orleans Pelicans and Herb Jones have agreed to a 3-year, $68 million deal. It's like, oh, I'm enjoying this banter. These two guys seem kind of down to earth. Can this continue? So Herb Jones, it's going to be a 5-year deal he's got now for $97 million and a player option in 2029 and 2030. I like Herb Jones. Shot 42% on 3-pointers a couple years ago. He only played 20 games last year. He was hurt, but he is a good piece there, although I don't really know what the Pelicans are going to look like. So they traded for Jordan Poole. They have DeJounte Murray. They still have Zion. They signed Kevon Looney. They drafted Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma. There's just a lot. I think I said this phrase earlier, but there's a lot coming and going on this team. There's a lot going on with this team right now, so we'll see what they look like. It's going to be very hard if you're not one of those top teams in the West to even pretend to compete. And their season next year is going to be highly sought and watched by Atlanta Hawks fans because of that stupid trade where they moved up. And then for Derek Queen, and they moved up 10 spots to get Derek Queen out of Maryland. And gave up next year's pick unprotected, where the Hawks, like, had to call Joe Dumars multiple times to make sure they were giving him what they were giving him. So the Hawks next year have a number one pick that is going to be the better pick between where the Bucks are and where the Pelicans are. And I think the Bucks should make the playoffs in the East, but let's say they don't. The Pelicans aren't making the playoffs in the West. You could potentially have two shots at the highest of the lottery picks. This is likely going to be a top five pick just by the Pelicans alone. And then you've got that outlying of maybe Milwaukee scuffles. So, crazy move that the Pelicans did, but they seem to have some sort of vision. I think the vision's a little blurry, but they seem to have some sort of vision. The other NBA signing today was the extension for Jalen Williams. So we remember how good he was in the playoffs and especially in the finals. He is agreeing to a 5-year max rookie contract that could reach $287 million. What they do is they sign for about, it's like an extension for 230 or something. But then if you make all NBA or whatever, or first team all defense, there's ways that you can make it. It's not built in to how the team signed you. It's built into the CBA, where if you do that, Jaren Jackson Jr. was a guy who, or no, it was, who was defensive player of the year this year? Mobley. So Mobley, they had him on the books for 233 for 5 years, but then he got that, so then his contract went up. The Thunder have locked in their guys for quite a while, and everybody's looking at this thinking, oh boy, the Thunder aren't going to be able to afford anybody else. They're going to get second aproned. They're going to get screwed. They're going to have a hard time. Just with SGA, Chet Holmgren, who they extended earlier this week, and Williams, for the next six seasons, what the cap hit is going to be for these guys is $58 million next year, $124 the next year, $154, $166, $177. And in 2030, 2031, the SGA, Chet, and J-Dub trio is going to cost $189 million against the cap. So people are looking at the second apron and the tough salary cap and saying, oh, the Thunder are screwed. They've put themselves into a corner. They had to pay these three guys. They're not going to be able to do anything else. But Sam Presti has been building towards this for a while, the GM. He's been building towards this. They're not going to get into the situation that the Celtics did, where the Celtics had a championship team, paid two guys a lot of money, paid a bunch of other guys $25, $30 million, and now are shedding some of that salary. You saw with Jrue Holiday, you saw with Porzingis. For most teams, it's like a 2-3 year window because of how you got to structure your salary, which is going to lead to more parity. But the Thunder, even with committing more than $800 million to those three guys, should still be able to make this work. Looking at the 26-27 season, if we look ahead there, well, look ahead to next year. They're still $8.5 million below the first apron, even with all these guys that they sign. One of the tricks that they're doing is they're signing these guys to contracts that are back-ended, but they're signing other guys to contracts that are front-loaded. So some of these guys are making more money to start, and then their contracts actually go down, which makes room for these other guys. There's a bunch of and he's doing team options instead of player options, which other franchises always give out. The Hartenstein deal, that was always looked at to be a short-term deal. And they've got team options on guys, and they've got all these picks. So they have been planning not just to be good, not just to build up assets to continue to be good, but also to continue to build assets so that they make sure when they are good, they don't have to end it early like some of these other teams might have to. They can get the most out of these three guys. Two that they drafted, one that they traded for, but with Williams coming in one of the picks from the Clippers that was a part of the SGA trade. So really good stuff from the Thunder, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for a while. I don't think a lot of people were rooting for them in the finals. Could be the Supersonics thing, maybe. Could be they're just, you know, people turned on SGA pretty quick for some reason. But if you were indifferent on the Thunder, and if you are indifferent on the Thunder right now, come a couple years' time, you're going to be fed up with the Thunder. You're going to be tired of the Thunder. You're going to be annoyed at how the Thunder can seemingly figure it out, and your team and the 28 other, maybe 30 other with expansion, teams can't seem to figure it out. So some NBA moves there. The Summer League game that everybody had their eye on tonight, the Mavericks did beat the Lakers 87-85. Bronny James, 8 points, 2 of 8 shooting. Cooper Flagg, 10 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 6 boards, but a rough shooting night for him. He was 5 for 21, 0 for 5 from distance, but I think both sides relatively happy with the outcome. It was a competitive game, so if you drop $3,000 for a courtside seat at Summer League, if you drop the average price of $255 just to get into this building, and it was, I watched a good portion of it. It was, the crowd was into it, especially when Flagg would get the ball, because for a good chunk of the game, Bronny was on him, and Bronny played some good defense, but then Cooper hit a couple shots over him because he was a little shorter than the average player. So that was the game of the night. Mavericks, the 87-85 victory. We can revisit the Bartometer, some of the worst owners in sports. Also, we got to figure out there's a celebrity softball game for Major League Baseball. I don't think I know any of these people. All coming up next hour, Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.